Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Sanhedrin Daf Chav Vav, we are holding four lines off the top of the Amud Amar Rabbi Shimon. B'tchila, we're speaking about those who collect, who deal with Peirois Shviyas, Shviyas produce, which is intended solely for personal use, as the Pasuk says, La'achla. And the Gemara Darshans, we learn, V'loy L'Schera. It's not meant to be diverted for commercial purposes, for profiteering. One who engages in this type of conduct, misusing, misdirect, abusing Peirois Shviyas for commercial purposes, he's doing an Isser, and the Mishnah considers him one of these individuals who are pasul le'edus because he's willing to violate a halacha, to transgress an isur for personal, for financial gain. Okay, says Rabbi Shimon, but you should know initially, on Rabbi Shimon, betchila yukayon oisan oisvei shviyas. Initially, they would be called oisvei shviyas, shviyas collectors. And then they changed it. They started calling them Seichare Shviyas. Okay, so that's the Lashon HaMishnah. Once there was an increase in Anosin, we'll see what that means. Chazru Likroisan Seichare Shviyas, they renamed them Seichare Shviyas. Okay? So what's going on? Says the Gemara, my Amar, what's going on? What do we mean that they were renamed, relabeled from Eisfei to Seichare? Amar vida hachi Amar, he means like this. Betchila, in the old days, Hayu Aymrim, the Chachamim would consider even the Eisfei Shviyas to be ksherim. They would say a person who collects, you know, even a bit extra, more than, you know, your basic needs of Peirois Shviyas. And ultimately, it might end up going for sale if there's really... if you end up with a lot extra, right? Okay, nishkeferach, not so terrible, because that's not your, you know, your primary intention. It's basically for personal use. You're being a bit generous. You're collecting a bit extra, a lot extra, which ultimately will end up being sold. So this fellow is not outright, you know, an outright violator, and he's still considered okay for edus. But soicharin psulin, those who actually engage in commerce of Peirois Shviyas, they are pasul le'edus. That was the initial thinking. But then things degenerated. Things sort of spiraled out of control, and people started taking advantage and taking it a step further. Misharabu mamtsiei mo'is laniyim. And eventually there was an increase in the following phenomenon, where people would pay off some, you know, poor people to go collect Shviyas produce for them, right? Get some unemployed people, pay them $5 an hour, collect lots of apples for me. Va'azlu ani, mishirabu mamtsiya mo'is lanim, va'azlu ani, va'azli aniyim, va'asvilu, the name go out, collect, umayisu, and bring it to the boss. So it turns out that the ani is actually making money on the Peirois Shviyas. It's getting paid for this collection job. Chazru Leimas, the Chachamim switched tracks and they said, you know what? Echadzev, echadzev. Whether he's just merely like a collector, as these people pretended to be, or whether he's an outright wheel or dealer. So, either way, psulim, right? So, anybody who collects, you know, for profit, whether he's primarily collecting for personal use, but, you know, doing a bit extra to have a little for sale, or any sort of manipulation of Peirois Shviyas, whether it's disguised as for domestic use or whether outright commercial involvement. Psulim their pasul leidus. Koshuba. So that was Rabbi Yehuda Amarav's Rabbi Yehuda Pshan the Mishnah. Okay, so The way he learned the Mishnah, means like this. Betchila, initially, they would call these people, which people? The people that are apostle today, right? Let's say the Aniyim or all these people that are collecting for domestic use, supposedly, they're still kosher leidus. We don't consider that to be a terrible violation. And then when they saw that it became more prevalent and more expanded and more established, they said, okay, stop right here. These same people we are now relabeling. We're calling them Seichri Shvius. Wheeler dealers, professional merchants, in which case they're postulators. So the switching of the label basically makes them postulators. Kashaba b'nei Rachba. So the children of Rachba, which actually we referenced back in the Yud Zayin, they are the Amiroim Eifa v'Avimi. Okay, they had a kasha. Kashaba b'nei Rachba. They had a kasha on this pshat. How does it match up with the Lashon of the Mishnah? Hai Misherabu Ha'anasim. But the Mishnah explains what happened. The shift took place Misherabu Ha'anasim. Anasim is Lashon Oynes. People were forced by some sort of authority, some sort of compelling situation. That's not what happened. Misherabu HaTagorim Bailei. According to this approach in the Mishnah, it should have said when there was an increase in dealers, and the Anim who made money off the Peros Shvius. Therefore, he says, we're going to have a different pshat in the Mishnah. Rab Shimon in the Mishnah meant like this. Ella, batchilo yo'imrim echad zeh v'echad zeh. Psula. Just the opposite. Initially, Chacham considered both types of people. Those who take advantage of Peter Shvius, whether ostensibly for domestic use or primarily for commercial use, posulates. Misharabu, right? So echad zeh v'echad zeh psulin, they posulate. Misharabu anos. Once things got really desperate, which means to say, umayniu arnoina, tax collectors, the authorities came down hard, increased taxes, made it very hard for them. They compelled them to pay high taxes, and that basically over here it means that they forced them to pay taxes a percentage of their produce, even on Shemitah. So basically, that compelled them to work on Shemitah. That they have. Crops for their taxes. So again, Mishraba Nosan means Umanir Arnoina. The authorities who had these serious taxes, even on the Shemitah year, in which case you have to provide, you have to forward a percentage of your crops. Apparently you have to which forced them to work. Kedamachas Rabbiani. So in that case, Chacham allowed them to put together Peter Shvius and even if it's more than for domestic use, for personal use, it's okay. As long as you're not a Seicher Shvius, as long as you're not engaging in commercial enterprise with Peter Shvius. So the situation compelled a minimal sort of deviation, a minor abuse of Peter Shvius. So they can keep up with their tax payments. Kedemachos Rabbiane, as Rabbiane called out, declared in his city, he gave them a special heter. Puku v'zuru b'shvius. Go, plant on Shemitah. And Rashi says, but nowadays Shemitah is only the Rabbanon. And therefore, there was a special allowance because of this distressing situation, this financial jam there, where Tesis learns that it's pikuach nefesh. You don't pay your taxes, you end up in jail, you end up... it's a life-threatening situation. So he allowed them to do that. Puku v'ziru b'shvius mishamar noina. Go plant on Shemitah to provide for your taxes. So at that point, the Chacham shifted the halacha and they said, Chozru loima oisfin ksherin. They lowered the standard. Simply an oisave, a person just collecting so they can pay his taxes, is kosher. V'seichrin is psul, but a person who's really trying to make money and profit off peir shvius is possible. Okay, so that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon says, "Betchila, the oisvei shvius, even the oisvei shvius were possible, but then when things got desperate, they were in financial bind. They said, unless you're a real seicher, you're okay." Here comes a story regarding a heter of working on Shemitah. Rav Chia, so these Amoraim, Rav Chia bar Zanuki, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yitzchak, Kabu Ka'azli, they were traveling the Aber Shana ba'Asya. They were going to a place called Asya to discuss the possibility of a leap year. Okay, so they're going to make their calculations and present it to the Bezdin, who actually has to be an Eretz Yisrael. But this was just preparatory, you know, sessions. Pa'aga b'hu Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish meets them on the road. He says, you know what, let me... he accompanied them. Amar, he figured, Ezel, let me go with them. Echsi, let me have first-hand experience of the way this works. Hey, let me see how they proceed with the Ibra Hashan. Chazil, Gavras, on the road, and they notice this person, the Kakar, if he notices a person plowing on Shemitah. Amar lands, Reish Lakish turns to his accompaniments, he says, it appears to me that this person is a Kohen. V'chayr, and he's planting on Shemitah, you have to demolish him, stop him. Amar, they tell him, look, we can't draw conclusions, Yachalema, because this person could say, it's not really my field, I'm not forbidden, because I'm just working for a guy in his field. Agistam ni besoich, I'm just working for a guy. Tu chazi el gavar. Next story, they find this person, Reish Lakish notices another man, on Shemitah dava kasach becharmi, he's pruning his vineyard on Shemitah. Amar Lansi turned to his colleagues and he says, Kayin v'zaymer, he's a Kayin, and he's trimming his thing on Shemitah. Amar Lansi says, look, Yachalaymar, don't draw conclusions. Let's be Malamitzchus. He can explain himself. I'm not trying to work the field. I'm not trying to improve the vines. I'm just clipping off some branches. La'akal be'sabad for the, you know, the oil press. This akal, this sort of basket, contains the olives while it's being pressed. I need some branches. And that's okay to collect for that. Amar lahem. So Reish Lakish responded in exasperation. Halev yedea, you know, this person's heart knows the truth, knows his true intentions. I don't believe that he has sincere intentions. Im la akal, if it's really for the akal, in which case it's mutter, im la akal kalos, if it's twistiness, if it's in fact in a violation of the mitzvah, of the halacha, because he's really intending on pruning his field. Okay, so he was pretty disappointed at the fact that they were defending these alleged violators. So we have one story with the fellow plowing, to which they responded, perhaps he's working for a guy, according to another pshat, Rashi had the second pshat, maybe he was just to keep up with his taxes, like we said before. And the second pshat was, in the second case, where he was trimming the branches, they were attributing it to perhaps some sort of, he needs it for the oil press. Now, which story occurred first? Hai Amar Lu Bereisha. On which person did he complain first? Is it as order, as it sequenced in the Gemara? He complained at first about the fellow plowing, and the response was, maybe he's working for a guy. So then, Hanami, regarding the second story, with the branches, they should have responded likewise. Well, just as in the first story, it could be that he's not violating because he's doing for a guy. Same thing with the second story. So why did they switch and find another, resolution, another way to right with the oil press? Apparently, Elaha Amar Lubereisha. Apparently, he complained about the second person first, and the response was maybe he needs it for the other purpose. V'hadar Amaluhach. And then the other story with the fellow plowing, that cannot be can't be for good purposes. There's no other reason other than improving the field. So on that story, they had a different response. They replied that perhaps it is mutter for a different reason. Now, why did Reish Lakish stress that this person appears to be a Kohen, which sounds like, a Kohen is a known offender. He's suspected. There's something that's unique about a Kohen to complain about regarding Shemitah. Maishna Kohen, Mishum Dechashidi HaShviz. Because the Kohanim are known to be violators. They disregard aspects of Shemitah. We'll see later because the fact is they have the access to Truma and Maser, which is connected to Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael. So they figured, okay, we're special, privileged characters. We can eat Truma and Maser, Truma that other people can't eat. So likewise, we don't have to be so strict. We can loosen a little bit the Shvius restrictions. We don't have to abide by the same restrictions as everybody else regarding Shemitah. So that's why he sort of paired it together. Oh, as far as a Kayan, who's violating Hilchos Shvius? The Sanya, as we find in the Brayse, that in fact there's a special chashash regarding Kayhanim disregarding Shemitah. Sa'ah Truma Shanafel Meyasin. Shal Shvius, you have one measure, one sa'ah, pound of Truma, falls into 100 pounds of Shemitah fruit. So if it's 1 in 100, it's batal. Ta'ala. So it becomes batal, right? Pachas Mekan, that's less than 100, then the whole mix becomes Asr because of the Truma within it. So typically, if it would be Truma in ordinary fruit, you would just give it to the Kohen. Right? He let it have Truma. But in this case, Yei Rakfu, he let it sit and spoil. V'avinubah, we had a question on this. Amai Yei Rakfu, why let it spoil? Just give it to the Kohen. Yim Kurenu the Kohen, sell it to the Kohen, but made Truma. Okay, Truma is worth less, right? Because there's less demand for Truma fruit. So sell it to him on the discounted Truma rate. Sell him the whole mix, except, of course, you can't charge him for that Truma that's within it. Chutz, you deduct mitmei oisa tru'sa'a. Deduct, you know, a pound of apples, because that belongs to the, that's really Truma. So you charge him for the rest except for that, and you're done. Why do you have to destroy the whole mix? V'amrav chiyah mishmei du'ulo de semeris. We learn from here, nechshadu kaihanam ha-shviyas. Kaihanam are not to be trusted in terms of Shemitah. They might eat it after, you know, the deadline. There's something called Zman HaBir, when the animals no longer have access to this type of fruit out in the field. At that point, you have to stop eating your Peri Shemitah. So Kehanim are not trusted with these things. You shouldn't be giving it to the Kohen. So we see that in fact Kehanim are chashed on these things, and that explains why those stories were attributed to a Kohen. Okay, what happened later? Amru Taroy Dehudein. So Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon, you know, had a little conversation with each other, and they said, you know what, our mate over here, Rish Lakish, is just giving us a hard time, complaining about this and that. Let's, you know, disengage. Kimotel awesome. Okay, so when they arrive at the destination at Asya, so they sought a way to disengage. So they climb up to the second floor, up the ladder, and they pulled away the ladder. Shafu le dagum to say, they pulled out the ladder from before Rish Lakish, and he couldn't get up there. Okay, so he was stuck downstairs, and he couldn't join them. They had their privacy and their focus. Also, look at Rabbi Yechon. So Rish Lakish came to Rabbi Yechon to complain. Look what's going on. Amar Lei, and he told him, look, I have a story with people. Bnei Adam Hachashud Nal Hashvis. I have a question to ask Rabbi Yechon. Suppose there are people who are suspected of non-adherence, non-compliance regarding Shemitah. These people, okay? Ksheira and Abra Hashanah? Do you think they're qualified to be involved in making Ibur Hashanah? Being involved in that process? Look, these people that I had this trip with, all they were doing is defending those Shemitah violators. So they're also suspected of, a suspect of being, you know, in that, on that track. How could we allow them to be involved in Ibur Hashanah, Hada Amar? Then Rish Lakish says, you know what? Not so terrible. Like kashali, it's not a big deal, because even if they're not kasher, remember that story you had that the Chachamim overheard a discussion between three shepherds, and they were discussing the weather and the seasons, and the fact that things are so premature, it's time for a leap year. And they in fact instituted a leap year based on that information. So you see that you know, the main thing is that v'rabon achushbonayu samuch. True, they tapped into the input, to the information provided by the Roye Bakar, but ultimately they made their own calculation and determined that the Shana should be Muberes. Same thing over here, the Bezna is not really, you know, necessarily relying on these people who I don't really have such high regard for because of that story, but at the end of the day, the Sanhedrin is going to pass and based on their own calculation, so it's okay. But then he retracted again. He says, no, actually, it's way worse in this case. You can't compare. Loy Dom, you can't compare our story to the story of the three shepherds, because Hasam Hadur Ibn Rabban Vabru Allah Ushata. True, over there, the Rabban, after they heard the professional input from the shepherds, they turned around and they made a count, the Sanhedrin, right? Determined based on majority rule that Vabru Allah Ushata, and they made the year a leap year. Valhacha over here, these are Meroyim, who I'm not so trusting, those are going to actually take part in the establishment of the Ibrashah. They're part of the Bezn. And Kesher Rishahu. The fact is, this is an improper connection. Kesher means a cohesion of wicked people, so to speak. Right? They don't glue together. They don't connect. V'Kesher Rishahim Eino Min HaMinyan. A group of Rishahim cannot combine, cannot join together and be considered part of the Bezin. Right? Because Rishayim are like sort of on their own track. Each person has his own agenda. You can't join, you can't combine. There's no common denominator. Perhaps that's the pshat. So you can't count them in as part of the Bezdin majority. Amr Rabbi Yechon responded, this is a tzara, meaning I understand where you're coming from, but you're speaking a bit harsh for my liking. If you're calling them Rishayim, that's a bit, you know, too far. Okay, in any case, now it was their turn to come complain to Rabbi Yechon. Why did Rish Lakish call us, you know, shepherds, and he related to us as, right? He also complained to Rabbi Yechon. When they came to Rabbi Yechon, they complained to him, they said, Karilan Raye Baka, you know, Rish Lakish regarded us as shepherds, right? He compared us to shepherds. He didn't complain, he didn't object to his description. To him labeling us, you know, as such. Amrulus Rabbi Yechon says, you know what? You have to understand he was in distress, he was upset. Ikarlachu. Raye Itzain, if he would have called you Raye Itzain, you know, lighter animals, light animal shepherds. Maya Minilu, what could I tell him? Meaning, he was in tsar because of what happened, he was spiritually distressed, and I let him, you know, speak his heart and, you know, get it off his mind. Okay, once we spoke about, we made a reference to the idea of Keshev Rishoyim, that are not considered one group. They don't combine, they don't join together. And this isn't just a slogan, it's actually based on a whole story, rooted in the Psukim. My Keshev Rishoyim, what does that mean? So we had a story regarding Shavna, who was a chief of staff, so to speak, of Chizkia Melech Yehuda, and he turned his back on him. Havadorish Bethleser Ravasa. So Shavna was a great Talmud Chacham, and he had 13 times 10,000 at his speeches, at his drushes. And Chizkia had a big crowd, but didn't compare. Havadorish Bechatsa Ravasa. He had only 11 times 10,000. Okay, once the Cherev came and laid siege around Yerushalayim, so there's a question of whether to oppose or whether to submit and surrender. Chizkia was not up to surrendering, and Shavna decided to surrender. Kosav Shavna Piskos, Shavna composed a little a pesach, a note, a letter, and he sent it out. Shot the begir, sent it out with an arrow, delivered it to Sancherev, and it said the following words: we're with you, but Chizkia is opposed to you. Straight out Lashon Hara, putting Chizkia in grave danger, right? Shavna v'siyata, Shavna and his group and his crowd, Hishlimu, they're ready to, you know, surrender with you, to you. Chizkia, however, Chizkia v'siyata, Leishlimu, they're against you. And we have the Pasuk in Tehillim referencing this story, Shenemar, the Rishayim, like Shavna, who send out their arrows and jeopardize the lives of the tzaddikim. Shnama kihine harishayim, right? Yiduchum keshas, they shoot their arrows. Koyin nuchitzam al yeser. And they send out their lashon hara with their arrows. After this, the letter was sent out to Sancherev. Havakamastafi Chizkia was afraid. Amar, he figured, look, Shavna and his crowd are the majority in terms of numbers, right? So dilma chas v'sholem, maybe Hashem will be swayed Kaviyachu by the majority, right? Rabban Lahatis. Dilma Chas V'Shalom, not your diet. Perhaps Hashem's direction will now take on a new approach of the Rav. He'll adopt the position of the Rav. Diet Kuchibrichu Basaruba. Maybe Hashem will agree with them. Kivan the Ruba Mimsri, Inu Nami Mimsri. Since the Rav want to submit to Sancherib and surrender, will also be in the same boat. Ba Novi V'Amroli. Novi came to him. Yishai came to him. And said, don't worry. Majority doesn't count in this case because they're Rishayim. Lo Yisayim Ron Kesher. That's not really a grouping. They don't really. It's not a single entity. L'chel Hashayim Ron Amazek Kesher. Don't worry about it. Kalim, I meant to say like this. Kesher Rishayim. Shavan and his group. That's a Kesher of Rishayim. V'Kesher Rishayim. Einam. I mean, you can't count them as a mini. Meaning, there's no cohesion. There's no single entity there. There's no minion. There's no number that encompasses Rishayim, because each one is his own track, each one is his own thing. So halachically, they're not regarded like right. There's no majority rule against them. See, put him at ease. Okay, later on, Shavna decided that he's, you know, worthy of being buried amongst the Malachim of Beis David. Halach lachzav lekever bekever Beis David. So Shavna went to dig himself a grave amongst the kings of Beis David. Ba Navi Shishai came and dissuaded him. Amar lo, he said, what are you doing here? Malach apoy, milach apoy, what are you doing here? That you're making a kever for you. In fact, Hashem is going to punish you for what you did, for rebelling against Chizkiyah. Hinei Hashem betatloch tatala gavar. Hashem will shake you up and send you around in godless and exile, like dislocate you like a man's dislocation, which means to say, Amar Rav tiltudat legavar. Why do you pick? Why do you refer to a man being dislocated? Because when a man moves around, it's hard. It's harder than a woman. A man is more set in his ways, not as flexible as a woman. Till tula de gavra is kashi, is more difficult for him in the itzisa than if it happens to a woman. So the Navi warned him about a more severe consequence. Va'itcha ate, what else will Hashem do to you? Itcha ate, what does that mean? You'll get tzaras because of the lashon hara that he spoke against Chizki. On Rosh Hashanah, Malamed, we learn shaparcha le tzaras. He developed tzaras. Ksivacha, because the pasuk here says va'itcha ate, which is a similar lashon that we find by tzaras. Ksivhasam va'safam yad. What else is going to happen? Tzonef yitznafcha. Snefa Kadur, Hashem will surround you with enemy soldiers. El Eretz Racham Sedaim will be taken to a faraway land. Tana, with the Nebraisa, who bigish claim based Adonav. He wanted to embarrass and degrade, belittle the his master's home. Lefichach Nefach Kvodil Kolin. That's what happened to him. His honor turned into Kolin. To shame, to degradation. So what happened there? Turns out that he went out to greet Sancheriv with his whole crowd, his whole entourage, and they stayed behind. Also, Mavril, how? Because Malach Avril came along and suddenly slammed the door behind him. So he's walking out, expecting anybody to follow. Achdi Ladosh. Gabriel came and slammed the door shut, door of Yerushalayim, Ba'apri Mashur Yase, the face of his entourage, and they got stuck behind. So now he's one alone, unrelated. So the people, the Sancheriv people, asked him, where's the crowd that you're boasting? Where's your whole following? Mashur Yasachecha, where are they? Amr, he says, Hadrabi, well, sorry, they changed course. They decided to stay back. Amr lay. So they told him, well, then you're a pretender in Cain. If you didn't bring your people, Achuchecha Machachas, but you're laughing at us, you're belittling us. And they punished him very severely. Achmanu Letzlan, Nakfu, Nikfu, Bekevav, they punctured his heels. Talub Bazam Yisusayim, they hung him from the back of the tails of their horses, and they were dragging him like that. Vayibgaran Israel, Akoitzim, Akbarkanan, all the thorns. Amr Blada Shavna, this fellow Shavna is Balanoa, Haya. He was a man of desire. Ksivacha, as the Pasuk says, Leich, Bo El Asaychan Azes. So we find Seychan, a reference to Shavna. And we have by David Amelok, Ksivhasam, we have a Tihilay Seychanes. So, he enjoyed the accompaniment of Abigail, so we see that the Lashon relates to desires and pleasures. Okay, earlier we brought the Pasuk in Tehillim regarding Kihine HaRashoi Midruchun Keshes, describing the event of tossing the arrow with the letter to Sancheriv. And then we have the next Pasuk, which reads like this, Ki Ashos Soyisi HaReisun. When the foundations are destroyed, tzaddik ma'pal, what does the tzaddik accomplish? If everything just goes by the wayside, and we have three ways to apply this pasuk. Some of it relates to the story between Chizkiyah and Shavna. Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Eino, they both explained as follows. Chad once said like this, Amar, that the pasuk means, Ilu Chizkiyah v'siyote neherasim, tzaddik ma'pal. So the pasuk in the Hillim is related to the danger that Chizkiyah and his group were in, they're going to be destroyed. What's Hashem's accomplishment, so to speak? Meaning, Kaviyacha, meaning, where's the schar that Hashem designated for the tzaddikim? So this is a tefillah to save Chizkiyah and his group. V'chad Omar, want to explain differently. Ilu beis hamigdash yiharis. Right? Again, within the same context, but on a different focus. It's focusing on the beis hamigdash. Beis hamigdash will be destroyed through the Sancheriv, resulting from collusion with Shavna, Tzadik, Mapal. So where is the greatness? Where do we see the expression of Hashem's greatness? Beis HaMikdash will just get destroyed like that. V'ulamar, here's a third pshat of this pasuk. Ilu machshavoysav shal Yisrael Rasha eino ne'arasos. So all three relate to this era. If the machshav is the plan, the plots, bad intentions of Shavna, of this Rasha, will not be destroyed and undone by Hashem. So the Tzadik, Chizkiyah, Mapal, where is his accomplishment? Where is his reward if he will suffer as a result? So we have three pshatim regarding this pasuk. Yashosos yareisun. What are the yashosos? Either it's referring to Chizkiyah, Beis Hamikdash, or the thought process of Shavna Harasha. Why they call shosos? Explains the Gemara. Vishlam elamanda amar ilu machshavoysav shloisha rasha. So we understand the third pshat, that it's referring to the plot, the plan, scheming of the Rasha. That fits the words, because a person's thoughts are called shasos. Rashi says, you place it in your heart, right? It's based on the heart. We find in Shmois. So shasos relates to that. Likewise, if you say it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, Nami. It also makes sense that Shasos is reference to that. It's not. We have a Mishnah in Masechas Yuma. Beis HaMikdash is the foundation of the world, right? The purpose of the world. It's not an Evan Hayser Sham. There was a stone under where the Arayin was placed in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Mois Nevi'im Hashem, still from the time of the first Nevi'im, David and Shlomo, right? And Shmuel. Ushtiyos and Nikreis, and it was called Shasiya. Right? The Gemara explains in Yuma, Rashi over here brings it, because the world was created from them. So all this makes sense. But according to the pshat, first pshat, Elamanda Amar, Chizke v'siyata. But if Shasai is a reference to Chizke and his group of tzaddikim, Hecha ashkan tzaddikei dikru Shasai's. What's the connection between a tzaddik and Shasai's? The answer is there is, as we find in the pasuk in Shmuel, Lichsiv, Kila Hashem metzukei oretz v'yoshes. When Hashem establishes the world on the tzaddikim, they support the world, they keep the world running. V'yoshalem tevel. Another pshat, another place we see that this lashon relates to tzaddikim and to the Torah that they engage in, that they think about. Hifli Eitza, that's the Torah, Higdol to Shia. So Shia is a Torah, and to Shia and Shasa is as synonymous. Amar Rav Chanan. Okay, on this topic of Torah being called to Shia, why really? Lama nikra shma to Shia, why is Torah called to Shia? Torah is a very invigorating spiritual experience, but it tends to override and overshadow the body. The body sort of gets weaker in face of the spiritual power of the Torah, which dominates. So that has that effect on a person's body. That's why it's two Shia. Lashon of weakness. Dabar Acher, another pshat. Why two Shia relates to the Torah? Two Shia, Shinitna b'chashai. Hashem gave us the Torah sort of quietly, away from the Satan, Pnei Satan, because of fear that the Satan will get in the way. Dabar Acher, third pshat. Why is it called two Shia? Two Shia stands for Dvarim Shel Tohu. It's just words. It's just words, which you can't really, has no physical properties. And these words are really significant. Sha'ila mushutas aleim, on which the world stands, right? Famous Reb Chaim Volozhin of Shachaim says, if there would be a moment in time and there's no Torah in the world, there's no learning, the world would just be destroyed. That's one of the reasons why Hashem perhaps, right, made this sort of cycle with the day and night are interchangeable, right? Day here, night there, night there, day here, because this way there's Torah learning going on all the time. Omar Ula. Further on the topic of thoughts and planning, Machshava Mayelis. When a person's worried about his livelihood, it can affect even his learning, his memories affect. Afilu Divrei Torah, he'll forget even Torah. Shenemar Mefer Machshavas Arum. Hashem provides ample parnasa to the Chachamim, V'leitaseno Yideim Toshia, so that they don't end up forgetting their learning. So they're focused, they're not overwhelmed and distracted by their worries. Amar Rabba. There's another pshat, by the way, in Rashi. He says, Machshava Me'elis, thinking, planning. Look, I'm going to make this much money, even when it comes to learning. I'm going to learn such and such and so much and so much. Basically, taking the credit, you're expressing too much confidence, and that jeopardizes a success. The Mari Cheskel on Gadol Shel Pesach says a beautiful word. He says, Hashem, very often will provide you with your livelihood in a way that's different, in a manner which is totally different than when you expected. And this is all to teach a person that it's not your own effort. You meant to make a shtalus, but ultimately it comes from Hashem. Sometimes you're endeavoring in one direction, and the positive result comes from the other direction. So Machshava Me'elas Afilu Divrei Torah Shenemar Meisha Machshava Yisarum Odesani Ideyem Tushia. So short, short term, sort of light planning, of course that's it's only responsible to do that, but immersing in that, I'm going to do this, and having minute by minute plans and expecting certain results, that's dangerous. That jeopardizes chances of success, right? A little bit of shtalus and the rest is Hashem. Amar Rabbi Masukin Lishma. However, even though we speak about parnasa concerns overshadowing one's Torah, but if he's engaged in Torah for Torah's sake, to connect to Hashem, Eino Me'elis, he's immune. He won't be affected by these worries. Shenema Rabbeis Machshavis B'levish V'atzas Hashem. Right? If the Atzas Hashem, the learning is for Hashem's sake, to connect to Hashem, Isakim. that will repel anything. When he's learning for Hashem, hitakum lo'ilam, that stands forever, unaffected by other external factors. Okay, back to the Mishnah. We spoke about these gamblers who are disqualified from saying Eidus. And Amar Yehuda Rida explains, the concern here is really more of a societal concern, meaning a person who doesn't have a real job, he's a gambler, he's busy partying, he doesn't really have true understanding of what life's about and the struggles and the efforts that people go through, so he can't be counted on to approach monetary disputes and nitty gritties of the court system with integrity, with focus, with sensitivity. So Rida says like this: Amar Rida Imasa, when do we say this person is disqualified? When he has no other job. But otherwise, if he has a day job, he's just engaged in a little bit of gambling at night or whatever, then it's just a hobby. Doesn't really overtake him. He's still considered an okay person, and he could be accepted as an eight. Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Blazer. That's the way we go. Halak Rabbi Yehuda, that if he has another job, he's okay. Vamar Rabbi Avo, Amar Blazer. Kulam. All those individuals mentioned in the Mishnah, gamblers and the right. Tzrich Nachrazu Bebezn. Since the disqualification is only midrabbanan, so not everybody understands, not everybody knows, and we have to first announce it, declare them as disqualified, and then. They attain that status. Roya, what about a shepherd? Right, he's also on that list. Pligibor, Machlek is like this. Between Rav Acha and Rav Yehuda, Chada one says, by the shepherds as well, you have to first make that declaration and consider them to be possible, make that formal determination. Chada, the other one says, no, like by Achroz, you don't have to make a formal determination. So now, Bishnah, we fully understand the second shot. You don't need that formal declaration. Damar Bidamar Rab, we had halacha the other day. Stam Raya Pasal. Every Raya is Pasal. Presumably, even before we declare him as such. The fact that he's a shepherd. Elamad the Amar by Achraza, according to the first Pshat, that you need Achraza, my Stam Raya Pasal. So, what did Rabbi Damar Rab mean when he said the default position of a Raya is to be Pasal? What do you mean? He needs Achraza. The answer is like this. Of course, you need to first label him as such, make him a pusillatus, but it means to say that you don't have to wait for evidence that he stole, that he took. We know that he's a shepherd, we declare him as pusil, because we know that's what happens. Natural course of events involve stealing when he takes his animals, right? There was a story about a shtar matana, a gift document. Ahi matana, davachasimo lo. Train Gazlana. Two robbers, two known Gazlana, were signed on the shtar. Savar Papa Rashmol Achshura. So he figured, okay, we can still accept the shtar. Why? Because we haven't yet declared them as pasul. The lo yachrizin alayu. And that's a precondition for psul. Amar le Rabbis. Rabbis says nihi debayin nachrozda. But Gazan the Rabbanon. No, you're making a mistake. Hachrozda is only required by Gazan the Rabbanon, like those in the Mishnah, who aren't really pasul min haTorah. Right, like we explained in the Mishnah, they're just taking from a kid or asmachta. A real gazlan, says Rashi, is a person that actually snatches something from somebody's hands. So by gazlan the rabbanon, which aren't really so well known and recognized, you have to first declare them as such so that everybody understands these people are off limits. Aval gazlan de rice. But now, okay, these people are bank robbers. Ibn nachroza. Why do we need nachroza? It's self understood. These people are pasul. Simur davar vareis gan. Amar Nachman. We have to add more people to the list. Oichle davar acha. People accept tzedaka from goyim. That's not appropriate because it's a chil Hashem, giving the goyim the impression that they're the ones that are feeding us and supporting us instead of Hashem. Psul leidus. You're not meant to take tzedaka from a goyim. If you do so, you're pasul leidus. Hanim, because you're willing to sacrifice. Willing to. Do something which engages in Chilul Hashem for monetary gain. It's only if it was done publicly, aval b'tzina, but quietly, if you take the money quietly, lo, it doesn't have the same effect. You're not possible. And even in public, it's only a concern. If you have the option of taking it quietly, so you choose to do it this way, disregard kavod Hashem, that's a problem. He's embarrassing himself, mezalzel himself. He's right. So that's a problem. Aval if there's no choice. So then he doesn't become pasul chiyusihu. Listen, this is his livelihood. And he's compelled to do so, so he's not affected. Amar Rav Nachman, here comes a chiddush. Hachoshen al haroya. It's a person who's suspected of being involved physically with relatives, right? One of the biggest isurim, kasha leidus, he can still testify in a court. Amar Rav Sheshes, how could you say that? Ani mar, please, my master, respond to me. I have a question. Arboim bekate, 40 lashes on his shoulders. It's an expression for Malkus. He's getting punished. Bekasha, he's still okay as an aid? How could that be? So apparently Rav Nachman holds, although he's not a big tzaddik, but he's not violating for the sake of monetary gain, which is a prerequisite for psul edus. So although he's not an okay person, but he's still kasha edus. Amar Rav, maida Rav Nachman leaning edus isha, shu apostle, of course. Although he's kasha for other things, but I'll give you an example of some sort of process that he cannot be involved in. Edus isha, to come testify, this woman's husband died, that she's now unmarried. Well, maybe he has an agenda because he's prone to these types of things. Amar Rav, v'tem rav papa, so Rav, some say rav papa, explain. Le'amar, that's only true, la'puka, when he's trying to get her out of her husband, alleging that he died. So then there's a concern that he's just pretending. Avalayula, but let's say he's coming to testify the other way around, that she married somebody. So he's making her a married woman. In that case, he has no potential gain from making a woman into a married woman. Less than there's no concern, so we could accept his testimony. Upshita, obviously, I mean, it's pretty self-understood, right? No, mother him, perhaps I would say that even in the second case, where he's testifying that she married, we should not accept it. Because perhaps it's just a plot. Ha-difale, he prefers that she stay married. She prefers that she's considered married, and she's usher to him, and now it's more enticing. Right? He's looking for bigger fantasy. This increases his fantasy. The siv mayim gnuvim taka, the pasuk says, stolen waters are sweet. So the more usher, the higher level of isra, the more he's drawn to it. So perhaps that's his plan. He's trying to make her a married woman. Kamashma, no. The answer is no. Look, the kama, the kaima, the fact is, she's more available now when she's a pnuya, when she's unmarried. As long as she stays in her current status, she's certainly more available to him, so therefore he wouldn't go ahead and falsify the fact that she married. What about a sharecropper who takes a bit more than he deserves from his farmer, from his owner? If the sharecropper stole during the springtime, when during the crop season, Nisan, Ganav Tishrei, when they picked the olives and the grapes. Right, so Ganav Nisan, Ganav Tishrei, Lishmei Ganav, he's not considered a Ganav regarding disqualifying for Edus. But there are some limitations. Hanimi Lebari said only pertains to a sharecropper, who's supposed to take a certain percentage. He takes a little bit more. Davar Mua, B'davar Mua, it's a bit more than he deserves. And B'davar Shnigma Malachtoi, he took some of the finished product which he deserves, took a bit more. Right? He thinks that he's like the halacha is that a person actually comes to work. He's a sharecropper. Let's say a person comes to work, a daily laborer. And he's working to pick grapes, which is a finished product. The Torah says you can snack on it, right? So he's thinking to himself, the sharecropper's thinking, I'm not worse than a laborer. Let me take a little for myself. And that's a problem. But he's still considered kosher because this is called Moira Heter. Moira Heter means he's excusing himself. He thinks he has, he's covering himself with some sort of excuse. He's not outright stealing. Therefore, we say, since his intention isn't really to steal outright, he's not a Rasha, and therefore he's still kosher ladies. There was a story regarding Ikrei de Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid's a sharecropper. Chad, his sharecroppers, Chad Gnav Kaba de Sa'ari, a pasli. One of them stole a certain amount of barley, and Rav Zvid said, you stole your pasalatus. Chad Gnav Kibura Dahini, a pasli. The other one stole a cluster of dates. And likewise, Rav Zvid disqualified him from being an aide. And the reason is because here, they weren't really meant to take a percentage of the crop. That wasn't their deal. They were going to get paid or whatever, so they had no right to take the fruit at all. And therefore, they're postulators. They have no, there's no excuse here. We end up with another story of Hanu Kavaroi, these grave diggers, these people involved in burying, the burial society in town, the Kabur Navsha B'yom Tabrishin Shalat Tzeres. So they buried somebody on the first day of Shavuos, right, for pay. Shamtin Rav Papa put them in Chirim, but Paslin Leidus. He says, you can't be an aid because look, you did not vera for money. The other Amir said they're okay for aiders. Amalir Rav Papa said, Rav Papa turned to him, how can you do that? Varishayim nin, Varishayim. They did an Isra for pay, Savri. So he says, they're misguided. But they're thinking that it's a mitzvah. Savri, mitzvah kav. They figured to bury somebody, it's a big mitzvah, even on Yom Tov. So since they weren't really intending to do Avera, they're still kasha. So he responded, "Welcome Shamtinalu." What do you mean? It's not the first time. We put them in Chayim already, and they're still doing it again and again. Apparently, they know what they're doing. So he said, "You know what? Sorry, they figured it's still okay. It's a mitzvah. It's something positive. But the reason why we're putting Chayim is to undo the Yom Tov violation, even though it's a good thing and we're compelled to do it. But consequentially, we're actually, violating Yom Tov." So we need a kapara, kapara avdilan rabban. That's what they're thinking. The rabban are just providing us with a way to cleanse ourselves from this avera. The mitzvah has an element of avera, so we need that cherem to undo that. But really, it's the way to go, and they're not really thinking that they're doing something terrible. It's a mitzvah, it's mutzer, and therefore they maintain their status regarding kashrus for edus. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We discussed the Shvi'is collectors. At what point are they considered possible Eidus? We had the stories with Rish Lakish, with the people who engaged in work on Shemitah, all back and forth with his road mates, and then we had the interaction with Rabbi Yochanan. That took us to Kesher Rishayim, which led us into the story of Shavna, who Chizki was told to ignore because it's Kesher Rishayim. We went on to the Psukim regarding Teshia, about Torah, learn Torah Lishma, and we discussed the idea that the Apostle Eidus and the Rabbanan need Hachrozah Bebezin, so people understand and know what's going on and accept it as fact. And we had a Chiddush regarding a person who's Chashad Arayis, how he's not Apostle Eidus, accepting Tzedakah from a Goy is problematic, makes you Apostle Eidus under certain circumstances. And regarding the sharecropper and the fact that he was Melamed Tzchus, and he allowed the Koyvrei Meis on Yom Tov to retain their kashrus status. All the best to you, Natzlacha Rabbah.